So many people who are sick. And so I came in and decided I got to come in Saturday morning because I've been laid up in bed all week and I didn't have a chance to do any preparation or sit before the Lord for Sunday morning. So I said, I got to go in. So I said about 12 noon, I came in here and was sitting before the Lord and preparing for today. And God was speaking to me about all those who are sick. And I was praying, and there are a lot of people who are sick that we know. People who want to come to church, they can't come because they are sick. Older people. And so the Lord spoke to me and he said, and I think now I understand the reason why I was going through this is because I was watching also the time when I was not feeling good. I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday, 700 Club. You ever watch the 700 Club? And I was watching it, and the pastor, they got into prayer. And he's sitting there, and they said, you know, we're going to pray. And they started praying, and then that's when they said, you know, there's somebody here who has this and who has that. And the Lord wants to heal you. And then they were sharing prior testimonies of people who were watching the 700 Club who were getting saved and who were being healed because whatever they were going through, pastor was speaking it over the telephone, TV, and by faith they were receiving that healing as it was God. He was speaking to about them, and they were sharing their testimonies and how they were being healed. And I was like, wow, that is so. I remember those days when Pastor Mike used to come up and he would just say, you know what, I feel that the Lord showed me someone has a backache or someone has this and God wants to heal you. And then somebody getting up and saying, praise God, it's me and I'm healed. And I'm talking the real thing, not this phony television stuff that's going around and it's all phony. It's the power of God moving through prayer. Amen. Yeah, scripturally. And I said, Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Lord took me to James. Did I tell you James chapter 5? Look at verse 13. I'm going to read this because we're going to do something differently. And let me bring out my oil. This is not any remains. Right? It's just oil. When I die, I'm going to be cremated. This is what they're going to put me in. Right there. This big body is going to fit in that. That's what this is for, to pack me in. Okay, verse 13, listen to what James says. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. So again, James here, I love this verse because I never looked at it this way, but he associates our affliction with cheerfulness. So in other words, he says, let us pray and let us praise. And when he says praise, he's saying worship. Pray and worship. Whatever we're facing, you know, whether it's trouble, because he's talking about afflictions, trouble, whether it's sickness, affliction, whatever it is, whether it's physically or spiritually, he says we pray, right? And when we are free of all these things, when things are going well, and when it's our time of peace, maybe you're feeling here, hey, I'm just having, like David, it was a time of peace, no more war, no more problems, everything is just going well. Then James says, that's the time that we need to what? Praise. Worship God. Thank Him for it. So what this is talking about is we need to pray, and we need to praise God at what? At all times. In the times of our affliction, in the times of our peace, times when things are going well, we need to pray and we need to continue to praise Him. The Lord wants us to be His witness in the times that we are struggling in our hard times and our afflictions. And when I was in the hospital there laying in that bed, when the nurse came in, I said, nurse, I said, I need good news. I told her, I said, because I'm going out of the country in a few weeks, and I need good news here. My worst thinking here is that they're going to keep me, and I have to go through the angiogram, and the whole works like 9 yards, and I'm going to be in there for a week. And she says, oh, really? Where are you going? I said, I'm going to China. And she goes, well, I just got back from China. And I'm like, well, common ground. Praise God. And she goes, oh, are you going on vacation? I says, no, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I got to witness to her. She goes, oh, yeah, I was there vacationing. And then my husband met me there. I said, oh, where at? And she was telling me all these different provinces. And she goes, you are going to the Great Wall. I said, you know it. I got to go to the Great Wall. And we had this thing in common, and it was really awesome. And I was telling her, what part of the wall did you go to? And this is the part of the wall that I fell on, and so on. So it was really cool. She goes, oh, wow, this is awesome. But unfortunately, I'm not your nurse. But and then my nurse came in, and she looked like Nurse Ratchet. She was grouchy, and I'm like, oh, I looked at Carmen. I'm like, I hope she doesn't have to give me any shots, you know, and but again, we need to pray and praise God through the hard times and in our times of peace, because he wants us to praise and he wants us to worship him. And then in verse 14, look what he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sin, he will be healed. So again, James says, when you're sick, you got to call for the church leaders, call the pastors and the elders, and have them pray for you. And then when he talks about here, if there's any, in verse 4, if there's any of you who is sick among you, that's also referring to the shut-ins, guys. And when I mean shut-ins, I mean those who are sick and they can't come here. They can't get here. I mean, there's people we know that haven't been here for months because they are a shut-in. They're sick and they can't get here. And so we, as the body of Christ, James says, we got to pray for them. So how do we pray for them? Well, we can go visit them. You can call them. You can pray for them over the phone. But you can intercede for them. You can stand in the gap for them. There's plenty of people out there that are sick. So many people are sick. Those who aren't able to come to church, those who aren't able to fellowship, they need us to intercede for them. And those of you who are here, you know, those who are sick and you are struggling, you're going through things, that's why we are here, the pastors and the elders and the leaders. We are called to what? To anoint you with oil and to pray for you. And we're to do them both in the name of the Lord. Now listen to it. I love this verse in Isaiah. Listen to what this verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6. Listen to what Isaiah says. He says, The Lord says, I have set a watchman over your walls, O Jerusalem. And they shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, and till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So I love this verse because, you know, he's talking about the watchmen here, you know, who were, if back then, the watchmen, they were the ones who were assigned the task of what? Of guarding the city from a surprise attack. So they're there to watch and watch over God's people. But not only the watchman refers here to the prophets, but also refers to the believers, to us as well. We are called the watchmen. And if we're called the watchmen, we are called prayer warriors. You are called a prayer warrior because everybody can pray. We're called to pray. We're called, he says in Isaiah, we're called to cry out day and night to the Lord. And to the point of, he says, when you're crying out to the Lord day and night, he says, don't allow the Lord to be silent, because the Lord's never silent, right? The Lord's always listening to our prayers. Never give yourself over to rest, he says also. Don't ever get to the point where I'm gonna take a vacation from God or from church. I'm going to take a rest from fellowshipping. I'm going to take a break from ministry. I've been in the ministry, and now I think I'm going to step down and take a break. He says, hey, don't give yourself over to rest. We have to cry out. We have to call upon the Lord without ceasing, with the heart of prayer and the faith of not giving the Lord rest, because the Lord never rests. And we have to say, Lord, I'm not going to stop being a voice in your ear until you answer my prayers. That's what God wants, though, right? Doesn't he want that? He wants us to call upon him. See, God already knows what we need. He already knows what you're going through, but he wants us to cry out to him so that we can have that fellowship with him. Just think about it. What if your life was perfect? What if you had no problems? What if you everything was great? Why would you need God? You say, oh, no, you know, I wouldn't do that, but trust me, you would. How often would you even cry out to God? What are the things that are calling you to cry out to God now? And we ask God to take those away. And I say, Lord, don't take it away, because if you take it away, I won't cry out to you. Don't take away the very things in my life that I struggle with, the things that I'm going through. Don't take those away if they are going to keep me from coming to you, Lord. And if these things I have to go through are going to keep me coming to you in fellowship and prayer and crying out to you, then may you use them for your glory. May you be glorified through them. And may you allow me to go through it, and not may it not overcome me, but I will overcome it. You know, we are called to pray. What did Jesus say in Matthew? Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 8, 18. You guys know it well, I'm sure. And some of you Bible scholars, you probably know the very thing that I'm going to say. Matthew chapter 18. Listen to what Jesus said. Excuse me. In verse 19, he says, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in their midst. Isn't that beautiful? And there's more than two or three of us here. Jesus is with us. And Jesus wants us to agree on earth. And concerning anything that we ask, he says, hey, you know what? I'll be in agreement with you. And in my devotion, I've been going through 1 Kings. There's a part there in chapter 2, verse 28, where Joab, who was David's general, and he kind of rebelled against David. And he was the man that, if you remember the story of Bathsheba and Uriah, her husband, remember when David saw Bathsheba and he wanted her for himself. And so her husband came, and David used Joab to help him murder her husband so that he can marry Bathsheba, which was Joab. So Joab knew everything that David did, and he rebelled against David. And maybe David couldn't get rid of him because he knew what David did with Uriah. And so David kind of maybe had to, okay, you know, kind of like a blackmail thing. I don't know. Okay, you know, I'm going to help you because we need to keep this a secret, right? And so anyway, so he rebelled against David. And finally the time came when David had enough, and he died. And Solomon, his son, remember all the things that he did. And when Solomon was made king, Joab, he ran to the altar of God. Now, the altar is a place where they would sacrifice the animals for the sins of the people. And on the altar, it had four horns on each corner. And that's where they would tie up the animals before they sacrificed them. But what they did back then is those who were begging for mercy or who were seeking forgiveness would run, and they would grab the horns of the altar. And they would hold on to the horns, and they would cry out for God or whoever they offended for mercy, and they wouldn't let go. And so Joab went there when he knew that his life is going to be over, ran to the altar, and he grabbed the horns of the altar, and he started crying out for mercy. Well, maybe this morning, you need to do that this morning for your life. Maybe you're struggling with whether it's sickness, whether it's a physical element, maybe a spiritual one of sin in your life. And you need to run to the altar, and you need to grab those horns, and you need to cry out to God for mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord. Bring healing in my life. This morning, that's what we're going to do. Lord, show me that there's many who are sick, many who are hurting, and we need to intercede, and we need to stand in the gap for them. And I think of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 or 22, one of those chapters, when he was up against a mighty nations outnumbered, and he was ready to, they're ready to, the city was surrounded, and like 10 to 1, and some. And so he was like, what do we do? And the Lord said, told him, hey, be in the position of readiness. Stand fast. Do not retreat. We never retreat in our relationship with God. If you don't know what to do, then you just keep doing what you're doing. And that is worshiping God. You stand fast. And God said, stand fast. The battle's not yours, it's mine, saith the Lord. And watch the salvation that I'm going to bring. And he told Jehoshaphat, I want you to go out. I want you to fight. You don't have to fight, but I want you to go out there. And it'll be like me here, and I have to fight every one of you at the same time. You're in trouble. I'm saying, what, Lord? And Lord says, the battle's not yours, it's mine. I want you to go out there in the midst of them, and I want you to go. All right, Lord. Put that back in there. What I want you to do is I want you to put the priest, the prayer, and then the worship, your worship, the worship team before you, and then the army behind you. And I want you to sing, and I want you to pray, and I want you to go out. And that's what he did. They went out out of their safety of the city. And they went by faith and obedience to the Lord, and they put their prayer, the priest, the prayer, and the worship team in front. They started worshiping and praying, and everyone heard this. They started to be confused, and they started to freak out. They end up fighting against each other, and they killed one another, that not one was left. So by the time Jehoshaphat got there with the worshiping team, it'd be like you guys going before me. Okay, I got to fight all them, but you're going to go first. Yeah, Tom, you're going first. And then Ray, you're going next. And then we get down here, and they're all asleep. You know, and then the Lord said, see, you don't have to fight. The battle's not yours, it's mine. Now just go and collect all their wallets, all their jewelry, and all the spoil, and it's yours. That's what happened. So this morning, the Lord showed me we need to come before the Lord, in not only in our affliction, but in our praise, because affliction and praise go together. We're afflicted, and we cry out to God, and then God heals us, and then we praise and worship Him for the deliverance. So as we're going to continue to worship. And if you're here this morning, you need some prayer, I'm going to have you come down here. And whatever it may be, I'm going to have the pastors and the elders come down. And we're going to anoint you with this oil. And we're going to pray over you. And we're going to ask the Lord, as you grab the horns of the altar, spiritually grab those horns and cry out for mercy, cry out for help and deliverance, that God, He hears you. God hears you. Know that God hears you. And like the leper who said, Lord Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus says, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately he was cleansed. So let's worship the Lord. And if you need prayer this morning, I want you to come down here. I'm going to anoint you and ask God to deliver you for whatever you're going, whether it's health, whether it's something in your life that you're struggling with, that you're disobedience, whatever it may be, come bring it to the Lord before the God. It's between you and God. That's all. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with between you and the Lord. So let's worship the Lord and just come on down.